He's the columnist for the Register Guard, and you can find his work, as you might have presumed, on the cover of the Register Guard sports section. Catch up, registerguard.com. Follow on Twitter. Use at AustinMeekRG. Austin, a very good Tuesday to you, sir. How's it going?
Hey, Steve, I'm doing good. College football is back this week, so it's a good time to be alive.
I'm with you there. Yesterday, Alex said, maybe you and I should not be talking this week with the Royals and the Yankees squaring off, both teams actually in the hunt. You're a baseball guy. I was asking most neutral fans this, or even if you hate the Yankees, the evil empire, do you, during your lifetime, remember them being so anonymous and just this look in pinstripes?
No. I mean, technically the Yankees are in the race, I guess, but I've given no thought to them making the playoffs. You know, as a Royals fan, I've looked at the standings and I've tried to figure out, okay, who do we need to catch? You know, who's in position to make the wild card and all that. And I just, like, look right past the Yankees. I just, I give them no possibility of making the playoffs. Because I don't know who any of their players are.
Right.
Do they have any good players? If they did, maybe I would give them a little more chance of making the playoffs.
Well, it's the rookie catcher, Gary Sanchez, has turned the world on its ear. And we've been joking that he's clearly the greatest Yankee ever. And wondering how his number hasn't already been retired.
But, no, not like there's much competition for that.
Not at all. This Matt Strom dude, who they drafted 4 years ago, and I think he just debuted a month ago. He starts, he relieves. You follow the franchise. How excited are fans like you, the organization, about this kid?
I follow the Royals, and I had no idea who Matt Strom was until about 3 weeks ago. They called him up. I'd never heard of this guy, and he's been incredible out of the pen. He's been one of their most dependable relievers. I think he's got like a .75 ERA or something. The Royals just seem to find these guys. I don't know where, but their bullpen the last 3 or 4 years has just been full of these dudes that, you know, just come out of the woodwork and come up and pitch great. And, you know, with Wade Davis hurt, they've needed somebody to step in. So, yeah, he's been really good.
By the way, for the record, in about 2 hours, Tanaka and Volquez, game two. But as the summer has moved along from media day until we heard from Oregon's head coach recently, we were kind of led to believe it was a two-horse race as far as quarterback with Prukop and Travis Johnson. Turns out Justin Herbert is now the number two, and we discovered Johnson's not even three but four. How much of a surprise was that to you?
It was a surprise in that Mark Helfrich came out and said Travis Johnson is our fourth best quarterback. Usually he's not as definitive as that, but that was a pretty strong statement. You know, I wasn't surprised to see Johnson slip down, because even going back to the spring, I think you and I had this conversation that, yeah, Oregon technically had a quarterback competition, but it was just hard to see Travis Johnson beating out Dakota Prukop. I just, in the times that I have watched Travis Johnson, I haven't seen anything from him that says, oh, yeah, this guy's definitely got what it takes to be a starting quarterback in the Pac-12. I just haven't seen it. I feel like he's committed a lot of turnovers. In the times that I've watched him, his decision-making has been a little bit suspect. So I guess I'm not surprised that he ended up slipping down on the depth chart. And now it's a question of, you know, if Herbert's the guy for the next 4 years, what's Travis Johnson do? Does he stick around? I don't know. He might be on the Morgan Mihalik plan here.
Very well done. So for those, you've only been here a couple years, you know, for those who followed, first it was Darren Thomas over Nate Costa, Marcus over Brian Bennett, not always the experienced guy. Oregon goes with the player they think gets them closer to titles, be it the division, conference. So I've kind of reading in between the lines, if Herbert gets in there, and whether it's during routes or whatever, and they think he can take them there, you think he might get his chance sooner rather than later?
Well, see, this is a really interesting question to me, because even though Dakota Prukop is the starter, clearly, I don't think he's got just an unlimited leash that, you know, hey, doesn't matter how you play, this job is yours. You know, I think Justin Herbert has done enough now to put a little pressure on Dakota Prukop that if he doesn't play well, Oregon maybe will be under some pressure to give Justin Herbert a shot. I mean, now you should text me the first call you get this year, the first time somebody calls in and says, start Justin Herbert, because somebody's going to do it. The first time Oregon loses or the first time Dakota Prukop throws two or three interceptions, somebody is going to make that call. And I'm not saying it's going to happen or that it should happen, but it could be an interesting decision for Oregon because clearly Justin Herbert is the future. This is a one-year deal with Dakota Prukop. There's no attachment to him after this season. So if he struggles or if Oregon struggles, there will be a little bit of pressure to look toward the future.
So what's the domain name we should chip in? Is it Start Herbert or Bench Prukop? Where's our financial future here?
Well, I should say I'm not surprised you're looking for an angle to make a buck off of this. Look, I think Dakota Prukop is going to be a good player for Oregon. I think he's going to deliver the goods. I think he's going to be an above-average starting quarterback in the Pac-12, which, you know, he should be. With the weapons he's got around him, that absolutely should be the baseline for him. I think he'll be good. But, you know, who knows? I mean, it's not a given that he's going to step out of the FCS and just, you know, waltz in here and be a great Pac-12 caliber player. And so, I don't know, it could be interesting.
By the way, for the record, if you were not a college graduate and hosting a radio show in the 150th biggest market, you'd be looking to pad your salary as well.
Hey, you're talking to a guy who works for a newspaper.
Yeah, that's
so financial insecurity is a topic that I'm quite familiar with.
All right, let's get to the annual preview section at the Register Guard. I mentioned before you guys kind of set the bar high. Your coverage of the Olympic trials was fantastic. But beyond the obvious, what can fans and media guys who do radio shows and like free information look forward to?
Well, there's going to be a lot of free information in there. My column from our preview section, which I think comes out Thursday, is about all the hype that has been showered on Washington in the preseason and whether Oregon should be nervous about that. I think it's a really interesting phenomenon the way everybody in college football has jumped on the Washington bandwagon. I think Washington could be good this year. I'm not underselling the possibility that they are. I just think it's interesting that a team that won 7 games last year is now everybody's pick to finish ahead of the team that has beaten them 12 years in a row. I tried yesterday. I couldn't find a single preseason projection that has Oregon finishing ahead of Washington in the Pac-12 North. That's just really interesting to me. It's really the broad consensus that Washington has passed Oregon without really doing much on the field to validate that.
Yeah, they had one decent win last year because when they won the Apple Cup, the Cougs didn't have their quarterback. They beat USC. They were sub-500 in league. Is there just this natural default by people who do these preseason prognostications to say, oh, stud quarterback, oh, good running back returning, and that just gives them an advantage in a conference like this?
I think that's part of it. I also think there's a natural bias when people make preseason predictions to pick the up-and-coming team over maybe the team that's been there for a while, because everybody wants to be ahead of the curve. Everybody
right.
wants to say, hey, I predicted this team was going to be great when they were still a 7-win team. There's probably some of that with Washington. And there's probably with Oregon, you know, people just maybe are tired of seeing Oregon up there, or maybe, you know, maybe they look at last year and look at the trend lines and say Oregon is trending down and Washington is trending up. But, you know, personally, I don't see it as decisively as a lot of people do. I think it could go either way, but I'm certainly not going to sit here and say on August 30th that Washington is now the new powerhouse program in the Northwest and Oregon is playing second fiddle to the Huskies right now.
You know, somebody brought this up. It's kind of interesting. You talked about Washington trending up, even though in the last 3 years they've gone from 9 to 8 to 7 wins.
Yeah, exactly.
We're talking with Austin Mika, the Register guard. In closing, I'd like for you to test the theory we've concocted here. If you look at Oregon, with three freshmen on the offensive line, inexperienced front seven, Chris Cisse gone thin at corner. So they've got an obvious bunny to open the season in UC Davis. Then Virginia, sure, a Power Five, but the consensus worst team in the ACC. Then Nebraska. Any logic to the way the opponents escalate? Provides a real good opportunity for some of these new faces to kind of get their feet wet before the teeth of the schedule hits?
Well, you'd certainly rather be playing UC Davis on Saturday than playing at Nebraska. You know, it's right. Nice that Oregon does have a couple weeks to ramp up to that Nebraska game, which I think is going to be tough, because even if this is not the Nebraska team of old, that's a tough place to play when you're going on the road with a bunch of young players who haven't experienced that environment. So, yeah, it is good that Oregon can ramp up a little bit. You know, nobody expects UC Davis to give Oregon a test. This is not going to be Eastern Washington last year.
Right.
You know, this is not an FCS team that's going to come into Autzen and hang with Oregon in the second half. So they're going to get a chance to see a lot of those young guys on Saturday. The Virginia game, it could be competitive for a while. I think Bronco Mendenhall is a good coach. I don't think Virginia has the horses to hang with Oregon for more than a quarter or two. And then when you get to Nebraska, that game, I think it's going to be a dogfight. So it is good that they have a chance to sort of ease their way into it.
All right. Hey, awesome stuff as always. I am looking forward to waking up Thursday morning and for a buck or two stealing free information and plagiarizing Ryan and you and Steve and everyone.
All right. Hey, we're happy to help.
All right. Well, enjoy Yanks Royals and have this conversation face-to-face on Saturday. Thanks a lot, Austin.
Okay, see you, Steve.
Take it easy.